This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, it's Rich. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of The Zioli Show. Do us a favor, please subscribe to the podcast, rate it, and tell your friends. Come on, I got kids to feed. College isn't going to pay for itself, you know? Thanks for listening.
Rich Zioli Show Podcast.
There is no doubt in my mind that there was an attempted coup against the President of the United States of America. Now, those involved are all trying to cover for themselves, as people in failed coup plots often do. Have you noticed how this story is trying to go away? Have you noticed this? I've noticed this. The story is trying to go away. And I'm not going to let it go away. I refuse to let it go away. It's way too important. Look, the president's national emergency declaration is going to work its way through court. I told you what I said. I said this last week, and I'll say it again. There are so many problems with the legislation that he signed over the weekend that make the national emergency almost a moot point, that while the national emergency is tied up in court, the horrible things in that bill the president never should have signed are going to be incredibly problematic for our immigration crisis in this country. So it's not exactly as urgent as everybody's making it out to be. Just not. It's just not. I mean, the president has the legal authority to do it. It's going to go to court. They're going to argue it in court. Meanwhile, that bill that he never should have signed is now law. And in that bill are terrible poison pills regarding immigration. I went through them in detail with you on this show and also on Mark Levin's show. But I'm not going to let this coup against the president just go away. I mean, I'm amazed by it. The more I think about it, the more amazed I am that there's Andrew McCabe so brazen out there talking about this. And I know some people want to just dismiss this like, oh, he's just selling books. He's selling books. Rod Rosenstein put out a memo saying everything Andrew McCabe said is BS. Yeah, I don't buy that either. I think this is all real. I really do. I really do believe it's all real. I think they really wanted the president gone. I think they still do. There's no doubt. No doubt in my mind, they want the president gone. You know it and I know it. The reason why, of course, is unclear, other than the fact that Donald Trump has never been the guy they thought was going to get in there. But more importantly, now that he's in there, they all run the risk of potentially going to prison. I think that that's a big part of the reason why they want him gone. First of all, here is Andrew McCabe. I will give a couple of different cuts here. This is Andrew McCabe discussing the 25th Amendment to the Constitution. This is now, I'll play the shorter version of this first, cut 14. Rod Rosenstein and Andrew McCabe, again, McCabe was acting FBI director after Comey was out. Rod Rosenstein, the guy at the Justice Department running the show since Jeff Sessions recused himself, cut 14.
Discussion of the 25th Amendment was simply Rod raised the issue and discussed it with me in the context of thinking about how many other cabinet officials might support such an effort. I didn't have much to contribute, to be perfectly honest, in that conversation, so I listened to what he had to say. But to be fair, it was an unbelievably stressful time. I can't even describe for you how many things must have been coursing through the Deputy Attorney General's mind at that point.
Yes, a very stressful time for him. Very stressful. How did all this begin, huh? Andrew McCabe talks about how the investigation started the day after Jim Comey was fired as FBI director. Now, think about this now for a moment. President of the United States has the lawful authority to fire the FBI director. They fire him, and the response from the swamp is, let's investigate the president of the United States. Cut 13.
I was speaking to the man who had just run for the presidency and won the election for the presidency, and who might have done so with the aid of the government of Russia, our most formidable adversary on the world stage. And that was something that troubled me greatly.
There's no proof of any of this. Now let's stop for a second. Do you realize that there's no evidence or proof of any of this, but they did this anyway? They had no evidence that Russia helped him in any way, shape, or form. But here's the FBI and the Department of Justice just thinking, well, now we got to go investigate the President of the United States of America. Now, if they can do that against him, what can they do against you and me? Out of curiosity. Anything they damn well please, by the way. Anything they damn well please. Continue.
How long was it after that that you decided to start the obstruction of justice and counterintelligence investigations involving the president?
I think the next day I met with the team investigating the Russia cases, and I asked the team to go back and conduct an assessment to determine where are we with these efforts and what steps do we need to take going forward. I was very concerned that I was able to put the Russia case on absolutely solid ground in an indelible fashion, that were I removed quickly or reassigned or fired, that the case could not be closed or vanish in the night without a trace. I wanted to make sure that our case was on solid ground, and if somebody came in behind me and closed it and tried to walk away from it, they would not be able to do that without creating a record of why they'd made that decision.
I have a question. How many cases just vanish in the middle of the night? Files just disappear. Does that happen often at the FBI? Is that a thing? Is that a thing that happens over there? And if not, that hysteria that you're spewing right there is only because you had no evidence to investigate the president. So in the lack of evidence now, what you did then was you investigated him under the guise of, well, if we don't, this could all disappear in the middle of the night. Has that ever happened? If so, can you please list those cases? I'd love to know. Wouldn't you love to know? What files went missing, like it's the X-Files, where boxes just disappeared? Cases gone, agents missing in the night? The hysteria of this guy, this Andrew McCabe, is amazing to me. Then he discusses how they discussed assembling Trump's cabinet. Discuss assembling Trump's cabinet. Now, remember, the president of the United States appoints his cabinet to help him do his job as president. And the 25th Amendment of the Constitution is there in case the president is incapacitated, can't do his job for health reasons, some other reason, nothing to do with criminality, nothing. So even if they had the president, they had him with a smoking gun. If they caught him with on tape talking to Vladimir Putin about how Putin's helping him win the election by changing the voting machines, it is still not a 25th Amendment issue. You understand that? I know you do. I'm saying it's not a 25th Amendment issue. It's an issue of impeachment. Then it goes to the Congress, the House of Representatives, and the Senate. The House tries, the Senate convicts. We've used it twice in our nation's history. We've never removed a president from office. The 25th Amendment is not there if the president has broken the law. If the president has broken the law, that's the impeachment clause. Yet here are these guys. This is important to know. Because here are these guys saying, without any evidence of criminality, by the way, that they're going to use the 25th Amendment as a law enforcement mechanism to remove a president without even the benefit of a trial. Because at least in impeachment, there's a trial. When the president is impeached by the House, it goes to the Senate, and there is a trial that happens. President Clinton had a trial after he was impeached. He was found not guilty by the Senate. He was allowed to stay as president. Under the guise of this 25th Amendment, there would not even be that. It would just be the cabinet meeting in secret and the vice president, and they count votes, and then the president's gone. He's out of a job. That's a coup d'etat, you understand. That's a coup where they meet behind closed doors. Now, it's not a coup with guns. I mean, it could get to the level of guns if the president said, I'm not going because this is ridiculous, and then I don't know how that plays out, but in the movies and in countries like third world countries in Venezuela and et cetera, people with guns come in and get El Presidente out. You know, El Presidente, the general's now in charge. And they usually kill the president. They hang him and do something like this. In this case, a bunch of lawyers shuffling papers try to get the cabinet members in a room to take a vote to remove the president. And then what? They just come to the Oval Office and go, sorry, sir, we had a vote. Presidency's closed. Moose should have told you. How does this work? It's a coup d'etat. There's no other word for it. And this guy's just so brazenly discussing this. I'm amazed. I'm actually amazed by this. If there was an attempted coup, you would think that everybody involved would burn every file they have and make sure that they could never come back to them. You know, the old saying of if you're going to take a shot at the king, you better not miss. Yet here's this guy writing a book about it, going on TV about it, trying bragging about it. This is Scott Pelley and the... actually, let me skip that one here for a second now. This is from CBS's face. Where's the one from today, Greg? I'm sorry.
The ones from today are on the first page.
On the first page. Okay. Yeah. I wound up, of course.
Actually,
now
the second page, 4, 5, and 6.
Okay, let's do that. Let's do cut and how it start now with Andrew McCabe on the Today Show. All right. The disgruntled employee, former acting FBI director, cut 4.
I read the Inspector General's report. That suggests the Inspector General is in on it and firing you for basically making up a pretext to fire you. Is that what you're suggesting?
Here's what I can tell you. I read that report very, very closely myself. I've been writing and reading investigative reports for over 20 years, and that report was not like anything I have ever read before. An investigative report includes all of the evidence. It includes all of the information, not just those facts that support the conclusion that you'd like to draw. So I have big problems with that report. I disagree with the conclusions they drew, and that is something that I'll be raising in a civil lawsuit that I'll be bringing against the Department of Justice.
It was quite detailed, and it states that you displayed this lack of candor, as it puts it, on 4 different occasions. I mean, that's not just, well, we didn't understand, I'm not sure, I was distracted. That's 4 separate occasions in which the Inspector General says you were not forthcoming, you did not tell the truth.
Yeah, and I would love to walk through every one of the points that I have for each one of those things that they've said in that report, but I can't do that to you with you this morning because of the lawsuit that we're about to file.
Because you're a disgruntled employee. You're a disgruntled former employee, that's why. So he goes on these shows and brags about his coup. He's suing because he was fired. Dude, you were trying to take out the president by a coup. You're lucky you don't get hanged. Is it hanged or hung? I never get that right. Don't tweet me about it, please. When I do stuff like this, by the way, it's just for my own amusement. I really don't expect an answer. Please don't email me. Anyway, he might get hanged in the square. That's what normally happens in these situations. Instead, he's suing. The guy does a failed coup, and he's the one suing. I'm amazed by this. This is amazing to me. If I were the journalist, if I were Savannah Guthrie right there, I would just turn to him and say, so wait, let me get this straight. You tried to do a coup, you failed, and you're the guy suing? Why isn't Trump suing you? You tried to remove him from office. Andrew McCabe on the Today Show now. This is now opening the counterintelligence investigation into the president of the United States. Cut 5.
Did you order a counterintelligence investigation into the president?
I did.
Is that tantamount to saying you felt there was reason to suspect that he was a national security threat? Is that what that means?
It is saying that we had information that led us to believe that there might be a threat to national security. In this case, that the president himself might, in fact, be a threat to the United States national security.
And in particular, was it your suspicion and the reason that you opened this investigation that you thought the president might actually be working on behalf of Russia?
We had a number of very concerning things that we were considering at the time. One of them was the fact that the president, in our view, had gone to extreme measures to potentially impact, negatively impact, possibly turn off our investigation of Russian meddling into the election and Russian coordination with his campaign.
So does anybody believe this? When he's sitting there saying the president was trying to turn down his investigation, but they launch more investigations. So you're just contradicting yourself. You're literally contradicting yourself. If the president was trying to shut down your investigation would be shut down. Not only was it not shut down, you expanded it. So how is that a basis then for you to investigate him? As absolutely contradicting himself right there, right at that very, very moment.
Well, if that's true, it is clearly an attempted coup d'etat. Relating to what your former guest said, let's take the worst case scenario. Let's assume the president of the United States was in bed with the Russians, committed treason, committed obstruction of justice. The 25th Amendment simply is irrelevant to that.
Right.
That's why you have an impeachment provision.
Exactly.
The 25th Amendment is about Woodrow Wilson having a stroke. It's about a president being shot and not being able to perform his office. It's not about the most fundamental disagreements. It's not about impeachable offenses. And any Justice Department official who even mentioned the 25th Amendment in the context of President Trump has committed a grievous offense against the Constitution.
That, of course, Alan Dershowitz, the last living civil libertarian on the left, the last one alive. This clip now, Scott Pelley. Now, where's the one? I want to play this one for you in context. I think it's very important to do. I really do. I think it's important to do this. It's the full exchange between Andrew McCabe and Scott Pelley. It's like 2 minutes, but I don't normally play clips this long. I really want you to hear this in context. If this is true, people have to go to prison over this. You understand that? I cannot stress this enough to you that if this is true, what Andrew McCabe is alleging here, and obviously Rod Rosenstein is going to say he had nothing to do with this because he's implicated in this. If this is true, people need to go to jail. This is no joke here. But let's have the full exchange here with McCabe and Scott Pelley.
McCabe says Rosenstein raised another idea. The 25th Amendment to the Constitution allows the vice president and a majority of the cabinet to remove the president.
A discussion of the 25th Amendment was simply Rod raised the issue and discussed it with me in the context of thinking about how many other cabinet officials might support such an effort. I didn't have much to contribute, to be perfectly honest, in that conversation, so I listened to what he had to say. But to be fair, it was an unbelievably stressful time. I can't even describe for you how many things must have been coursing through the Deputy Attorney General's mind at that point. So it was really something that he kind of threw out in a very frenzied, chaotic conversation about where we were and what we needed to do next.
What seemed to be coursing through the mind of the Deputy Attorney General was getting rid of the President of the United States.
Well,
one way or another.
I can't confirm that, but what I can say is the Deputy Attorney General was definitely very concerned about the president, about his capacity, and about his intent at that point in time.
How did he bring up the idea of the 25th Amendment to you?
Honestly, I don't remember. It was just another kind of topic that he jumped in the midst of.
Let me stop this for a second. Do you buy that? I don't remember. The deputy director of the Department of Justice, the deputy attorney general of the United States of America, brings up the 25th Amendment to the Constitution. And you don't remember that moment where you are that day? You just don't remember? And then Scott Pelley says to him, so he wanted the president removed. And he goes, I can't say. You know, you just did say. You just said he wanted to bring the cabinet together and remove the president. He just said it like 2 seconds ago, man. You just said it. But how do you forget that when you talk about the 25th Amendment removing Donald Trump from office? You don't remember that moment? I think you'd remember that. I was in the lunchroom. We were by the way. Certain moments are supposed to stand out in life. I would think that that's one of them. Wouldn't you? All right, keep going.
They're kind of topic that he jumped in the midst of a wide ranging conversation.
Seriously? Just another topic?
Yeah.
Yeah, even Scott Pelley's calling BS on this. I mean, Scott Pelley's rooting for this, but even he's calling BS on that. Just another topic, really? Just another topic. You can't buy it. It just doesn't pass the smell test. And yet, here we are. And I think the problem is that either he's making this up or they're just so brazen about the idea that they can remove a president and try to at least get away with it either way, but they don't care, which is even more shocking to me. All right, keep going.
Did you counsel him on that?
I didn't. I mean, he was discussing other cabinet members and whether or not people would support such an idea, whether or not other cabinet members would shared his belief that the president was really concerning, was concerning Rod at that time.
Rosenstein was actually openly talking about whether there was a majority of the cabinet who would vote to remove the president.
That's correct. Counting votes.
Counting votes.
Or possible votes.
Mm-hmm. Like a flip
board. Did he assign specific votes to specific people?
No, not that I recall.
As you're sitting in this meeting in the Justice Department talking about removing the president of the United States, you were thinking what?
How did I get here? Confronting these confounding legal issues of such immense importance, not just to the FBI, but to the entire country. It was disorienting.
I got a question. How did we get here where the FBI and the Department of Justice think it's okay to even discuss the 25th Amendment to the Constitution? That's my question. How do we get to a place where the FBI and the DOJ think it's their purview to talk about the 25th Amendment to the Constitution? How do we go from them getting, babyface Nelson and guys with Tommy guns to sitting there discussing which cabinet member may vote to remove the president of the United States from office? How did we get to this place? And I don't know where people on the left are. Let me give you an example. This national emergency thing, the debate that's raging right now, you've heard a lot of Democrats come out and say, well, when we get in power, we're going to declare a national emergency on climate change or guns. Great debate to have. Great debate to have. Have you heard one Democrat come out here and say, what happened at the FBI is unacceptable because if there's ever a Democrat president, the FBI can't try to remove our president using the 25th Amendment? So this has to stop and never happen in America again. Have you heard that? Where is the outrage from the left saying this cannot be tolerated in our republic? You cannot allow the law enforcement department of government to go after a sitting president using an amendment to the Constitution that has nothing to do with the president's criminal conduct. Nope. Because they're all rooting for guys like McCabe and Rod Rosenstein. That's why. That's the truth. All right. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. What almost happened here is shocking. It really is. I mean, it's bad. They almost got away with it. Now they're profiting off of it. Now they're trying to make money off a book. Kirsten Gillibrand, running for president, made a campaign stop in Iowa City. And she was at an Iowa bar. But she was just trying to, talk to people as she's interrupting their meal. The New York senator trying to run for president. She's addressing a crowd. And Democrat Kirsten Gillibrand, Iowa restaurant. Take a listen.
I don't think you should back away from the bold ideas that the public, the base, and the grassroots care about. Sorry, I'm so disappointed.
Very Iowa.
She's so bad. She couldn't even make a joke or, like, did you notice that? She just ignored it.
Yeah.
This woman gets up and says, I'm sorry, I just want some ranch. Everybody laughs, and Kirsten Gillibrand just ignores it.
Like it never happened.
Yeah, her robot programming wasn't set for joke mode. She just ignored it. That's hysterical. Like, she should have walked over and be like, oh, let me get it. Yeah. Like, they could have had, like, one of those wacky moments where she's scooping the ranch for her or something. No, she just pretends like it never happened. They literally just kept going like it never happened. Going on lecturing about the base or whatever she's lecturing this poor woman in Iowa about. It's awful. She's got to be one of the least talented politicians I've ever heard in my life. She should have, at that moment, said, oh, you want ranch? Here, let me. I walked over to the plate and, like, poured the ranch on her yeah. hot dog or something, right?
Think about how viral that would have gone. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like, you know.
Instead, she just ignores it.
Instead, she's a laughing stock.
But as somebody who's advised even major presidential candidates, can you make those kinds of moments? I mean, you can advise people, but
that's all human, Dawn.
If they don't have it, they don't have it.
Right?
Okay,
that's all real, right? Because you can't prepare for that. I mean, you could send a staff member in to act like I'm the ranch guy, but no, really, that just shows you her lack of
human connection.
Right. You can't script that. Like, there's no setting where you do debate prep and go, now, on the off chance you're in the middle of lecturing somebody and someone asks for ranch dressing or syrup, here's how you respond, It's one of those scenarios you can't prep for. She's just bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here, one more time, Greg, please.
I don't think you should back away from the bold ideas that the public, the base, and the grassroots care about. Sorry, I'm so disappointed.
Very Iowa.
And they're like very Iowa, and they're all laughing. Yeah. And Kirsten Gillibrand's still just going on about, I don't think you should back away from the bold ideas of the base.
Excuse me, I'm trying to make a point here.
Yeah. Don't interrupt me with your ranch dressing, you person who votes. You voter, you.
Can you imagine the contempt she had? Because, like, you know, this is her moment. Yeah. And some, like, you know, she's probably thinking,
some Iowa rube.
That, yeah, that hayseed.
Yeah. Yeah, hayseed. I'm here from, I want to be back in New York and not eating your crappy Iowa food. And now you're walking in front of me. How dare you? Who eats ranch anyway? Yeah. It's so fattening. You fat asses out here in the Midwest. Those are all the thoughts running through her mind, Dawn, at that moment. Awful. I'm trying to, now as I rewrite the debate prep handbook for the next election cycle, I'm going to put that in there. If you're sitting at a restaurant and someone walks up and says, sorry, just trying to get ranch dressing, engage the person and try to make a lighthearted moment out of it instead of just ignoring what's happening right in front of you because you do not know how to connect to human beings.
Use that as an example in your next debate, your debate prep handbook.
In the debate prep handbook part two.
Yeah.
Gosh.
In case it comes calling on you once again.
Oh, man. Good stuff.
Mar-a-Lago.
Yes, down there they bring you the ranch dressing or the maple syrup for the pancakes, Governor Christie.
Oh, boy.
When is he coming on?
Next week. The 20-something.
You believe that?
He is coming on?
Yeah, you believe that?
What day? I'm only asking because Bill Baroni is sentenced. I was just looking that up next week.
He's getting sentenced next week?
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Bridgegate.
Maybe the day that
worlds
we have,
are colliding.
Oh, maybe the day we have Chris Christie on.
February 26th.
Yeah, I think
next week.
That's the day.
Is that the day? Come on, really?
No.
I'm almost 100% sure that's the day he's coming on.
All right, so that's the date that Bill Baroni, who is alleged to be one of the Bridgegate masterminds, will be sentenced to federal prison because Baroni says, I just want to be sentenced to get it over with. I've known Baroni since I was a kid, and it's just worlds are colliding. Jersey politics is so incestuous. It's unbelievable. So that's the day that Chris is coming on?
I have to check. My calendar is back at my desk, but I'll...
So Tuesday, we're talking about Tuesday is the sentencing day. So
in Philadelphia, by the way, right?
No, it's not. This one's not. It's in Newark.
Oh, this one's in Newark.
The
okay.
Sentencing.
So Bridget Kelly is in Philadelphia, right?
Right, because she's still continuing her appeals process and says, this was an abuse of, you know, it's basically trying to go after your political opponents type thing. They're trying to make it political. So her attorney says, we're willing to go to the Supreme Court with this.
Critchley's her attorney, Michael Critchley.
Yeah. So and Bridget and so Bill has said, you know what, after November's thing, when they threw out some of the stuff, he just said, just let's get over with it. Get it over with. So
yes,
it's the same day,
Tuesday the 26th, 5 p.m. So,
my goodness,
we'll probably make a little news with that interview, huh?
Oh, wow.
So Michael Critchley is defending Bridget Kelly in her bid to the Supreme Court of the United States to say I shouldn't go to prison for Bridgegate and you know everything else.
It was politically motivated, and
it was politically motivated. So I was reading Christie's book a little bit, and I didn't realize this, but do you know who Charles Kushner's attorney was? Michael Critchley.
I did not believe that myself
as I read it.
Oh boy.
Like I said, it's a very, very incestuous state.
Yeah, I guess
is
so.
Is it not?
Yeah.
855-839-1210. All right. Well, I'm in his book. He's outed me, so I just wanted to I let him tell the story versus me, because then I don't have to worry about anything. But outed me for debate prep. I just want to be very clear here, okay?
No, he didn't out you. No.
I want to be very clear
Thank
on things
that.
Because we've also mentioned Baroni.
You
know, a couple of people have mentioned when Andrew McCabe said he was worried about this disappearing in the night. They mentioned that this is the Hillary thing. I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, the FBI was pretty brazen in the fact that they just didn't care what Hillary did. I mean, they all rushed to defend her and say that what she did wasn't prosecutable. Yes, emails went missing, but the case itself was there. They just chose not to prosecute it. What McCabe's alleging is that the case itself would just disappear. It would all be gone, like it never happened. And I'm calling BS on that. I don't think that's ever happened. I think it's absolutely BS. I think it's an excuse he's making to justify an investigation when there's no evidence. It's not like the Hillary Clinton investigation, one day everybody came in and all, it was just like it never happened. That's what he's alleging here. If you listen to what McCabe is saying, he says, I was worried that I'd come in one day and everything would just be gone. Everybody disappeared in the night. Does that happen in this country? No. Now, the FBI and the Department of Justice openly, brazenly ignored Hillary Clinton's crimes, openly, and because they thought she was going to win. But they didn't make the investigation just disappear. The other thing, too, about this, which I would think is amazing, is that when the FBI and the DOJ are discussing now, the 25th Amendment, which they have absolutely no authority over whatsoever in the Constitution, nothing. Instead of the left being outraged, some are calling it patriotic. Patriotic. Remember, what's patriotic for you is not what's patriotic for me. Puffy Jeff Toobin, he was on CNN saying it's actually patriotic what these guys were doing. Patriotic. Amazing. Frank is in Center City. Frank, go ahead.
Hey, Rich, I just wanted to talk a little bit about this whole McCabe debacle and all. But first, I wanted to just say what a great job you guys did last week. I stopped in at Chickie and Pete's for the USO thing, and you guys really killed it, man. There was a lot of energy there. It was really cool to hang out with you guys for about an hour or so.
Well, we're great to have you there, Frank. Thank you so much, bud. Appreciate that.
And hopefully Greg got those hockey pucks to you that I left for you. Hopefully he didn't keep them all for himself.
Yeah, I think we got them, but yeah, it was a little chaotic that day.
All the gifts are in the promotions office, believe.
No worries.
Good.
But this whole McCabe thing, it's just, I'm calling BS on pretty much everything the guy says. I mean, he's already been, fired from the FBI, which is, quite honestly, it's a difficult thing to do for, lack of candor and stuff like that. But, I mean, if people aren't worried, the normal, rational thinking citizens of our country aren't worried that, now you have the FBI being basically weaponized and politicized by one side to remove a president or to assist in removing a sitting president, and how McCabe's not being asked. So, McCabe, you're sitting there, and you're the number two FBI official. You've taken a constitutional, you've sworn to the Constitution, uphold the Constitution, and protect the law, and yet you hear people talking about using the 25th Amendment to get rid of a president, and you don't get up and walk out and say something and blab that to the world.
Bingo.
I mean, how's that not being asked by people? I mean, I know the answer to it, but, again, it just makes me really nervous in this day and age. I mean, that this can really be going on. And I get that there's a lot of people that don't like him. They don't understand him. They don't agree with his style and the way he handles things. But at the end of the day, you still have to respect the office of the presidency of the United States. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It really worries me.
I think what you said, Frank, is really smart, which is, why did people not try to stop this and say this is not how it works in this country? We don't have law enforcement go after democratically elected presidents. That's not what we do in this country.
It's not the way it works. And I got to be honest with you. I worked with a lot of FBI agents in my law enforcement career, and the rank and file is just, they're devastated right now because of what their so-called leadership tried to do. And, those people, those men and women of the FBI, they do great work day in and day out. And, for the reputation of that bureau to be pulled down by, by a few of these so-called patriots that idiot Jeffrey Toobin wants to refer to them as. It's, by the way, he was a hack as a U.S. attorney up in the Eastern District of New York. But anyway, it's just I feel for those agents that are out there day in and day out, doing the hard work.
I hear you.
Protecting our citizens, and it's just a shame. But anyway, appreciate what you guys do there, Rich. And again, great job last week.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it, Frank. And thanks for coming by and supporting us for that. We have the greatest audience. Honestly, you're so generous to our men and women in uniform. We appreciate it. Really, honestly, thank you. Real quick, MSNBC's Katie Turr on President's Day with a little bit of George Washington knowledge for everybody.
In the Beat with Ari Melber starts right now. Hi, Ari.
Hi, Katie. I wanted to wish you a happy President's Day.
You know, it is George Washington's Day here, Washington Day here in New York, unlike the rest of the country, because George Washington, native son of New York.
Big up. Big New Yorker.
That's right.
East Coast. He was known as an East Coast one.
He was New York's big papa.
Hmm. Okay, then. Listen, as we destroy the legacy of our presidents and where they were born.
Big Papa.
Big Papa. New York's Big Papa. So weird that that Mount Vernon in Virginia, it's just weird. It's strange. It's like, anyway.
Good God.
So, Cherry Hill Volvo. Let me just tell you about this great place, Cherry Hill Volvo. These people on TV make so much money, too. I just can't get over it.
I know.
It
what does she make? Like $8 million a year or
like
something?
$8 million a year. It's like $8 million a year.
My kids know where Washington was born, okay? I'm just, saying.
My brain hurts. My brain hurts that I can't do this anymore. Thank God I don't have to do another show after this. He actually, true story, she's right. I looked this up. A lot of people think he was born in Virginia, but George Washington has denounced Virginia because of the blackface governor.
So that like national monument that marks his birthplace, are going to have to like get rid of that?
Well, no, actually, Dawn, it was actually originally in New York, and he fled because of high taxes. They got out. Washington got out of there.
The soda tax or something.
You know, the original. They once asked George Washington about New York. He said,
"You say I'm somehow."
No, that's the wrong one.
No, it was never that great.
That's what he said. Which idiot, Cuomo? How does Katie Turr have a job? That's amazing to me. Wow. It's like the most basic thing. I just thought the fact that Washington was born in Virginia is one of those things everybody knows. Everybody knows that, but I guess not.
And the fact that Ari Melber didn't call her out on it either, like both of them are sitting there like, oh, yeah. Like nobody.
Yeah. No idea. No idea. The two of them, the two idiots back and forth. Yeah, well, Big Papa. Big Papa. What?
I don't even know.
It's a Notorious B.I.G. reference. That's why I played that in bed coming back. East Coast, West Coast rap music, okay. You know.
So, gotcha.
I love it when you call me Big Papa. By
gotcha. All right.
B.I.G.
Well, that's something I wish I didn't know.
I'm trying to like figure out a connect. Like
now
why
your
is
life
she
is more complete, Rich.
Yeah, I want that 30 seconds of my life though. yes. Why is she making millions of dollars a year on SNBC?
He has a major, you know, I guess, triumphs and war. I don't know what she's trying. I don't know what she's saying.
I don't know. George Washington was born a poor black man in South Bronx. Actually, he used to be the congressman in Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's district. How many people know that? Okay, so the FDA warns against infusing young people. It warns against infusing young people's blood to fight aging. True story, thehill.com. The Food and Drug Administration is warning against buying young people's blood in an attempt to fight aging and other diseases. Simply put, we're concerned that some patients are being preyed upon by unscrupulous actors touting treatments of plasma from young donors as cures and remedies, the FDA said. For example, a company called Ambrosia charges $8,000 for people for an infusion of blood from young people. Have you heard about this, Dawn?
Not the FDA warning. I know that in California, there's a company that does this, that takes their plasma and they promise that you'll be, you know, it'll make you look youthful and keep your organs youthful. And it's California is where this started.
California. The company called Pelosi Enterprises. The FDA warning against the Pelosi Enterprises because they're very, very concerned about this. They're very concerned about Pelosi Enterprises. Yes.
She'll cut your head off and you won't even know you're bleeding.
No, you won't, but she'll be younger for it. Don't you?
Oh, my God.
All right. I have a question now. Since we didn't do Bernie Sanders today, I guess we'll have to do Bernie Sanders tomorrow.
Okay.
Which would be good for a snow day anyway.
Yeah. Snow day
since
Bernie.
He announced that he's running. The president signed a directive today to establish the Space Force as the sixth branch of the military. He's keeping it part of the Air Force. which I think is actually a very good idea, and Space Policy Directive 4. So instead of another, so it'll be a branch of the military, but still under the Air Force, which to assuage the conservatives in Congress. Space Force, pretty cool. I want the patch. First thing I want to do is go kick. I want to kick some Martian ass. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
That's what I want to do. Yeah. I want to do it now. Do you know who was born on Mars, Dawn?
Which president?
He's a native son of...
The native son of Venus, George Washington. Oh, no, wait. Washington is from Mars, Lincoln's from Venus.
Yes.
Wasn't that the book, I think? I forget. I'm always forgetful. All right, let's do it, Greg.
Who won Twitter?
I'm going to give it to Ange Bach. She says, reasons why I listen to the Rich Dioli Show, not in any particular order. One, astute political analysis. Two, Wayne's World references. Three, the hope of hearing Rich sing along with 90s songs. And four, Greg Sucker's excellent choice in bumper music, all of which you heard on today's program.
Well done.
Yay.
Well done. And Flemington Furs, yes, sponsors Who Won Twitter. Flemington Furs is what fabulous feels like. Yes, it is. By the way, George Washington used to wear a fur coat when he was, because he was born in Vermont. I don't know if you know this or not.
Very
he had a touring, he did. He had a Liberace cover band back in the day.
Wow.
Not many. Again, these are little things people don't know about our first president.
Rizzioli 3 to 6, Talk Radio 1210.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.